Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance and Author Spotlight. I am super excited for this episode. I am joined by Elise Faber. Hi, Elise.
Hello.
And writing, is this your first time co-writing with Kat Mazira? Hi, Kat.
Hey.
Is this your guys' first co-writing together?
Yes.
It is, yeah.
Okay, so exciting. So, like I said, you two have co-written a series together. Four books. Math is not mathing. Anyway, you guys, this is a spoil-free interview. I'm just going to tell you, you have to read this book. And once you read this book, it's out today, the day we're dropping the episode. The book is out. I'm going to need y'all to read it, and then we're going to talk about this. Because, you know, I got things. I got questions. You can find Elise and Kat's bio and all the places to connect with them over on our website, on our On the Shelf show notes, because we have lots of things to talk about. We have things to get to, and I'm not wasting my time on reading your bios. But I love both of you ladies, and you write amazing hockey romances. So,
well, thanks for having us.
And actually, Elise, we were just talking about, I think it's your Bad series that's the girlfriend, that they're all the girlfriends. We were actually talking about that last night because I'm like, that's kind of the girl gang series. You know, it started as like four. now I think it's 14.
Yeah, and 17. So 17. I was like, but they have, there's some subsets in the group. So
yeah. But if you ever need a girl gang series, just read the Bad series. Okay, so first couple questions I'm going to ask, and then we'll get into the book, because again, I have to keep it spoiler free because I need people to go read this book so we can talk about it. The book that is releasing is Icebreaker. Is the cute, adorable, illustrated cover, that's the cover that's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both covers are everywhere.
Oh, is there a people cover? Did you do? I don't know. Did I see a people cover?
The sexy man guy will be available too. But okay. Yeah, the predominant cover is the cute illustrated.
It's super cute. And the interior art, you did a book box where people could buy. The interior art in that book is gorgeous and adorable. My girl child was trying to see if she could unglue the feral raccoon that's in the front. She's like, do you think we could take this out and frame? I'm like, if you touch my book, I will hurt you. Like, I gave you life. I will take it away. She's like, this is the cutest cartoon, you know, little drawing. And actually, you had a sticker in the book box that she's like, wow, that's like your personal logo, because it said, I'm delightful, with like a mean raccoon face. I tell everybody
Aspen, the heroine, is a little, we always joked when I was writing with Kat that she's going rabid raccoon on the guy, because it's a little bit of enemies to lovers. So I was always picturing her like hissing like a raccoon. And so that kind of
it kind of fits. Okay, so we'll get into that kind of stuff, because I want to talk a little bit about the book, tease the book so people go out and read it. How did you two become author friends? Because you guys have known each other for a while.
We had a very casual sort of Facebook-only friendship. And then I don't remember when it changed.
Yeah, I think we got together at RAM, which is like an author conference, and, you know, had some drinks and got to chatting and started playing.
Did I meet you for the first time when I was in California?
Oh, yeah, you did come through. Yeah, we had brunch together. And so that was kind of the beginning of the end, yeah. I guess.
My family and I was on vacation, and we were driving from San Francisco back to LA. And I asked if she wanted to meet for brunch. And so she met my husband and my oldest son and me, and we sat down and had brunch, and it was lovely. And then when we saw each other again at RAM, that's when the ideas started to flow.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that, because so one of the things that I always tell new authors when they ask, and I'm like, get yourself a couple author friends, get yourself that author friend group chat that holds you accountable. that you can say all the crazy thoughts in your head to that are going to be there and have your back. But also, you guys have such a great friendship because we see, as readers, we see you building each other up. You know, hey, congratulations, Elise, on your release. Hey, Kat, mm-hmm. congratulations on your release. Look at this gorgeous cover. Like, I love that friendship and that camaraderie that you guys have.
Yeah, it's nice to have someone. I think we always talk about writing being kind of lonely and like solitary. And so nice to have a person to kind of bounce ideas off of. And that's kind of how Kat and I got started on the series is like, she would text me and be like, I'm stuck on this plot point. And I'd be like, I need help. Like, I don't know how to move forward in my story. And we would talk it out. And then we're like, this is fun. Like, let's do a book together. And so that's kind of how we like started. But yeah, so I think it's nice to have Kat be with me.
I think yeah. It's lovely. I love it. Okay, so let's talk about the inspiration for this series. So the series is called the Game Breaker series. The first book is Icebreaker. What inspired Game Breaker? Because we talked about it a little bit before. It is hockey adjacent. Our first hero is a hockey player. But as you guys get to meet these characters and read these books, and they are some dynamic characters. And I like that nobody is really perfect so far. You know,
these guys are super, super broken in their own way.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out so much more as we get deeper. And the next book that we have started, they are definitely broken. And Royal is probably spectacularly broken because in addition to his emotional stuff, he is physically broken.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm in love. So what inspired Game Breaker? Like, how did this come about?
I don't know if there was one specific thing. Like, we knew we didn't want to write necessarily out of the box another hockey team. We both write hockey. We both have multiple teams. It gets hard to keep them all straight sometimes. So we wanted to be hockey adjacent, but not full on a new hockey team. And so we thought, oh, college hockey friends. They played college hockey together and now they all do something different.
Yeah.
But we decided to lean in with book one on the hockey team, the hockey player. And then the others, you know, there'll be different things. As far as the Game Breakers go, we needed something to tie them all together. And we knew what the thing was, but we also needed a catchy, I guess, for lack of a better word, a marketing thing. Like, we couldn't just say, well, we can't just go around marketing. They played college hockey together. And there's this really cool thing that pulls them together and the death of their best friend and blah, blah, blah. So we came up with the drink. Yeah. And the club and that whole thing.
So there is a drink. It's called the Game Breakers drink. It is a play on an old fashioned. It has rosemary in it. And there was one other, because it had orange. Amaretto.
Yeah, some amaretto and cherry.
Amarettos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys come up with this, or is this based on a drink that you've had somewhere else, or?
Nope, we played around with some ingredients. I enjoy a good bourbon. I enjoy a good old fashioned. I don't like a traditional old fashioned. I like takes on an old fashioned.
Sure.
And so we just started playing with ingredients, and that was what we came up with.
The other weekend, Mike made me a banana bread old fashioned.
Oh.
It was so yummy. And it had walnut bitters and banana liqueur in with the bourbon.
Yeah, see, that's
I'm gonna need someone to make me one of those.
It was so good. But like you, I love a bourbon. Now, I do like an old fashioned, but I actually grew up on a dad that drank Manhattans. Like, that was his drink of choice everywhere we ever went, a Manhattan or just a straight, you know, three finger bourbon pour. Mm. But yeah, I loved it. And actually, in the box, you guys gave a recipe card. Mm-hmm. And I shared it with my husband. I'm like, I think we're going to have to try this. This is kind of right up my alley. So, but I love that. I love that you put that extra detail in there. And the Sapphire Room, which is a, I don't, so you guys, I think in the beginning of the week you call it a gentleman's club. And my first thought was strip club with gentleman's club. I think that's a Midwest way to call
it. A nice way to dress up a strip club.
Right. Yeah. They'll say the gentleman's club or something, but it's just like a member's bar.
Or yeah, a kind of a members only club.
Members yeah. only for wealthy men.
Yeah. Yeah. But I liked how that played a part. There was a really great balance in this book. You guys give us hockey, but we also get the world building and then the Sapphire Room, which I'm not going to spoil for anybody. It plays into this story. And it was really well done. So when you're picking details, like what's going to work, what to have, how do you figure out that balance as an author?
A balance. Yeah, I think it's that's always like it depends on the book, which is the boring answer. Right. So it's like you know you have to have in this story, Banks obviously is struggling with his hockey career, so that's one aspect of his life, but it's not the only aspect. You know, he has this kind of club that they're a part of that's in memory of their friend, and that's what, you know, ultimately kind of keeps the friend group together, because they're, you know, did it, they founded it kind of as a tribute to Colt. And so I think, and then obviously not doing any spoilers, but knowing that Aspen, you know, ends up starting a job there. And so I think then it becomes almost a character of itself a little bit, where it plays an important role for both of them.
Well, and I like that touchstone now that we're going to see in each of the books. I mean, I'm assuming. I'm just making big assumptions here, guys. I read book one. But I like that we have that kind of theme, that touchstone. It's, you know, similar to the locker room type touchstones or the bar that the gathering place of the hockey team kind of vibes.
Yeah.
And it is going to be prevalent in all the books. You're going to see Briar and Frankie in all the books. Like, there will be lots of recurring themes to tie it all together. And there will be more about the past that comes out as well.
Well, and one of the things that I like about this friend group is they're all really dynamic. And so each of their books, they are definitely going to be their own leading characters. Because, you know, sometimes you get a friend group and the guys, you know, their connection is they're all similar. Like, we all have hockey player, like we have the hockey player friend group. So they're all hockey players, sports, everything is focused. But each of these people have very different ways they live their life. Like, only Banks went into pro hockey. You have Atlas, the young, successful startup billionaire, and Royal, who, I don't want to spoil anything, I guess. Is it to say his career?
He's okay, then he's a rock star.
And then it begins with a D.
Dash.
Dash.
Owns a security company. So bodyguard and security.
Yeah. I will say there's a tow truck driver in this book named Briggs. And for a couple minutes, I was like, wait, is he in the friend group? Is he connected? And then he didn't come up again. And I'm like, Becky, you are trying too hard here, friend. Sit down.
It is funny, though, because you're like, we might need to do a sexy mechanic book, because he kind of took a little bit of a life of his own there.
He did. And he's such a flirt, which... Yeah. I love, like, when side characters flirt. And actually, there's another dynamic side character in this book, Mrs. X. And again, I don't want to spoil her for anybody, but I love her. And we all know I'm terrible at epilogues, but I read your epilogue and love. Okay, another thing in this book that I just think is really great, because I'm nerdy, was the board game and the Connect Four, like... tournaments. I mean, I'm a tabletop gamer. You know, if I'm not reading books, I'm forcing my husband to play some new, like, you know, board game. It's complicated and ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so I loved the Connect Four. But are either one of you gamer? Like, I know that Kat, your boys play a lot of video games and your husband's a video gamer. Are you guys also, do you guys do board games and tabletop games too?
Yeah. Not as often as we did when they were younger, but
Yeah.
You know, they're both adults now and kind of have their own interests. But no, we do.
I make my grown kids play Settlers of Catan or whatever crazy game.
Yeah, my husband's a big board game fanatic, so
Is
he
he?
has like, does all the Kickstarters for all the new games that come out, so he's always having us try out some stuff. So, but I am impatient, so I can't do like a Settlers of Catan. I want something fast, which is how I was like, if I would be playing it, I'd be playing Connect Four because I want a quick battle and then get through to the next.
Fair, fair. We actually bought No Mercy Uno and
Oh,
made
really?
the children play No Mercy. I mean, they're adults. My children are adults.
Yeah.
Made them play No Mercy Uno with us this summer. And really, the goal isn't so much to get Uno, it's to see how it's. So if you get more than 24 cards in your hand, you're knocked out of the game. And so you just keep loading up their hands. Anyway, but
That sounds like up our alley.
I was never the mom that let her kids win.
Oh no. We're far too competitive in my household.
No, me either.
The girl child will not play Yahtzee anymore at all. Like, she's like, I won't play with you anymore. I'm like,
Just ruthless.
but why? It's such a fun game. She's like, it's not. Whatever. Nobody will play Yahtzee. I love a good game of Yahtzee. I will pull dice out and be like, look, who wants to play Yahtzee?
I love a Yahtzee
It's one of those fun ones. So Game Breakers is the series. It's four books. It's these four friends. The release date for Icebreakers, which is book one, is October 22nd, 2024. It will be available wherever you get books. So
Yes.
Apple Books, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, all the places. Kobo.
Yes.
Will it go to Kobo Plus?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Because we do have quite a few of our listeners that are Kobo Plus readers.
Oh, great.
Tropes are enemies to lovers, mistaken identity. It's kind of a Clark Kent moment. And I struggled a minute. I'm like, how does she not see it? But then I remember he had like a hood up. So it's kind of that Clark Kent moment of mistaken identity. Starting over, rags to riches, protective MC, male main character was very overprotective a little bit. And then total found family vibes. But I think found family is something both of you guys do fairly regularly.
Yeah, I think it's probably one of my favorite tropes to write. What about you, Kat?
Oh, yeah. All my hockey teams, all my, even my royal protectors, my rock stars, they all have their the found family
Yeah.
element in it.
So our heroine, Aspen, for a little bit of damsel in distress vibes, she wasn't, though. She actually kind of comes off a little bit as she's a badass because she really and all I kept thinking is she talks about putting her keys between her fingers because she's going to take them out. She's a little bit of a femme fatale in a way. You know, she's not trying to seduce him, but she is definitely backbone and standing up. And I was thinking about it, and I think those are my favorite characters that both of you write in your books, are those strong, independent female leads.
Mean, think you don't want anyone who's like a wilting, lily kind of thing. It's like, and I think it's more interesting for their dynamic for her to not be like immediately like, oh, like this sexy hockey player. Okay.
So in a situation like this, where it easily could have been like she just kind of like fawns all over him and like, yes, all the things you want, all the things. Is it a challenge for you to not let her fall too quickly? Because she doesn't. She stands her ground for quite a way, for quite a minute.
I think I was just laughing because Kat, there was a few times when we were writing this that like I did Aspen's point of view and she's like, girl, like she is gonna have to fall eventually. And I'm like, no, not yet.
She will not fall. No, and I kept and I but it builds tension, it builds chemistry, and this book has spectacular chemistry. And I'm always yelling at books for giving me vibes. Yes, I just yell at my books. I really do. For giving me vibes over stakes. But this book gave us stakes. Like we have emotions. There are reasons that choices are made the way they're made. And And I love that. I love writing that. But there's also plenty of spice because there were a couple times where I'm like, are you seriously? You're going to do it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Is that a problem?
It wasn't. I just was like, okay. They have such great banter, though. They have such great banter. And sometimes, you know, they're like having a really great conversation and banter, and then we're having sex. And I'm like, wait. Okay, I guess we're going to read this. I mean, I'm not sad about it, but I'm just like, wait, I liked anyway.
I feel like for the sex part for both of them is probably the easy part. Like, it's all the emotions they're navigating. So sometimes they fall into that trap of being like, well, hey, this feels good, you know, yeah, rather than dealing with what was going on.
The other thing I liked that you guys did was it wasn't immediate that so as the hero, he doesn't immediately like try to take over. Like, he approaches with care like she is a rabid raccoon. Like, I'm just saving you for your own protection. But he didn't immediately, like, try to rescue her and take her to his house. And he met her where she was at. And I really did. I did love that. Because I think that, again, helps us see that she knows what she's doing. I will say, I think Briar steals a couple of scenes in this book. She's the sister. She's Dash's sister, and very much a part of this family and this friend group. She steals the book a couple times where I'm like, Anyway,
we love a Briar.
Yeah, Briar is special, and we have something special planned when it comes to Briar. But you know, there are no spoilers happening today.
There are no spoilers happening today. And I just have to tell you, I'm not okay, but I'm okay. I'm okay. Like I said, I was trolling the Amazon listings today, clicking pre-order on things. And again, I got mad because there were hockey emojis and I was like, wait.
Oh, so you thought we were going to go into the Vipers?
Yeah, I thought we were going to get the Vipers, the teammates. And like I said, I called Leah and I'm like, Leah, I think this series is about the hockey team. And I don't even know. I don't even know those fuckers' names. Where's the friend group? And Leah's like, you are not okay. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm mad because I saw the hockey sticks. Anyway.
Well, you saw that Heartbreaker is up for pre-order.
It like is, but I don't read blurbs. I don't read blurbs. But I just saw the hockey emojis and I was like, damn it. Anyway, I'm fine now. I'm fine. At the end of the book, I felt positive because and then you put in your author notes that, you know, Royal's book is next, Heartbreaker. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily 100% okay with your choices, but we'll have to see how it plays out in the book. I might be in your DMs being like, ladies, we're going to do a rewrite.
Just wait until you read it and then talk to us.
I'm sure it'll be wonderful. I really did enjoy it. Okay. So I know that both of you, before we get Heartbreakers, each of you has another release of your own world, your own hockey series and whatnot. So, Elise, what is next for you?
I have a couple of hockey books coming out. I think I'm most excited about The Big Skates. That's coming in December. That's the next of my Sierra hockey series, which is set in Lake Tahoe and super fun to write. Just because, like, the nature part of it plays a big, like, as almost a character in itself. And so that's my favorite world to currently fall into.
Yes, but you also are a nature person. Like, you go hiking rock exploring, climbing. You are a very outdoorsy person. I see your family pictures and I go, oh, isn't that lovely? I don't Kat want rocks not. In shoes. Kat does not. But Kat.
You will find Kat with a cocktail on the beach. You will not find me. I did a hike while we were in Scotland. We didn't do it together, but we did a similar hike. And I was like, and it rained and there were bugs. And I was like, what the hell? And I texted her and I was like, you didn't tell me this was going to suck.
Well, I was like, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. Like,
you were supposed to be on a cruise through Eastern Europe. And
I did that, but that was after.
but
First,
that,
we did Scotland,
yeah.
and then we went on the cruise, but the cruise didn't happen. We did not cruise.
You didn't cruise. And the whole
Did not
time I kept thinking,
cruise.
oh, this is not fun.
Actually, it was super
Oh,
fun. It
was it
just
super fun?
wasn't.
Good.
It was not the vacation we planned or the vacation we paid for, but it was absolutely fun.
Okay,
Like,
good. Good, I'm
we
glad.
made absolutely delicious lemonade out of the lemons that the weather dealt us.
Well, your food pictures were amazing.
Food, the
I
food.
was like, hello. Hello. And you both were in Scotland for Rare Edinburgh. What was the purse making? Did you do the purse making?
We
So
did. That's so
what was the purse making? I mean, we're gonna get to what Kat has next, but I
worries.
just need to know about the purse making.
Oh, I mean, it was just fun. It was like you get to go to a little workshop and pick all the colors that you want, and you can make your own custom bag. And yeah, so I
And
made two.
Harris tweed is a thing in Scotland, and
Right,
these are
yeah.
Harris tweed purses. And you pick your style, you pick your straps, you pick your plaid color, and then they give you this little toolkit and you put that shit together and it's super fun.
I was so jealous. I'm gonna be honest. I love a good purse, and I was watching that, and I'm like, they got to make purses. Like, I didn't even know it was a thing.
You get to do your own custom one. Yeah.
How
It was
fun.
fun.
How fun. Okay, Kat, what's next for you?
So before Heartbreaker comes out, I have in November is Body Shot, which is book 8 in my Lauderdale Nights series. December is sort of a surprise throwback to a series that I abandoned a few years ago. The book is called Cooper. It is book 4 in my Royal Protectors series, which is a bodyguard
Yeah.
series. I decided I missed it and I wanted to do it, and
Good for you.
so I went back to it. And then January is Playoff, which is the next LA Phantoms book.
Fun. Fun, fun. Okay, so Icebreakers is out today again, available wherever you get books. When is Heartbreaker due out? Is it end of January?
In
February.
February.
February. In February. Okay, I think that's everything. Thank you for coming and hanging out with me and chatting with me about the Game Breaker series and Icebreakers in particular.
Anytime.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.